Justin asked me before we got started, you need one water or two? I said, that's about a 1.5 sermon today, so we'll be all right. Thank you so much for being here. I tell you what a beautiful song. Lord, I need you. Last week, we began the introduction into the Hall of Faith. And as I had shared with you, I wanted to spend some time last week on the first two verses. And I told you what faith was not and told you what faith is. That faith is trusting the Word of God regardless of circumstances. Trusting His promises. And when we look at this text, and we look at what we call the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to understand as I go through these that it's not something we read for the very purpose of going through flippantly and saying these guys were faithful people, that's cool. But I want you to understand that each one of these in their circumstances put their faith and trust in God. And as I had written this sermon out and called it Walking Down the Hall, I'm going to be quite honest with you, I couldn't get past verse 5. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and stand with me as we read the Word of God. Guys, I'm going to stop at verse 5. But I want you to see what he says. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and though through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. You may be seated. If you will look at this, before he begins to get in each individual, he talks about the world was made by the Word of God. We live in a time where there's atheist rampant, that people are trying to say science trumps God. I want you to understand that we believe God because we believe in what God's Word says is true. In the beginning, verse 1-3, Genesis chapter 1-3, God said, let there be light. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it's very interesting to me that people will say that with faith there can't be reason. They must step aside and we must listen to reason. Let me tell you what, reason goes hand in hand with faith. You see, I find it quite interesting that Henry Morris said this, the physical universe therefore was not somehow made out of pre-existing materials of any kind. Thus, theistic evolution is an oxymoron. Only special creation of the world is accomplished merely by the omnipotent let there be of God can account for the things that are seen. His processes of creating and making all things ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing, but his own omnipotence were all completed and stopped at the end of the 6 days of the creation week. His present works consist of conserving and redeeming what he has created, as confirmed by the two most basic and universal of all known scientific principles, the so-called first and second laws of thermodynamics. The first law of mass and energy conservation assures us that the universe did not create itself, as many modern physicists and New Agers imagine. The second law of mass energy deterioration assures us that the universe must have been created in the beginning and is not an infinite age. Otherwise, it would have already completely deteriorated. unto uniform stillness and death. Therefore, it could only have been spoken into being by the omnipotent Word of God. Those who believe otherwise are without excuse. Let me put it simple to you, people. The old adage is this. If you go into the woods and you find a clock, you would have to deduce there is a clockmaker. There is no other way. Reason will tell you that there is a God. We have all had an eternity put into our hearts. Let me tell you something, and listen to me real carefully here. Men did not choose to do good. You do not teach a baby to be bad, do you? You have to teach a child to be good. Morality is in our hearts. All of a sudden, somebody didn't come up with, man, I shouldn't take his fish because that's the wrong thing to do. Think about this. There is a moral law. If there is a moral law, they must be a moral lawgiver. We were not created out of something. We were created out of nothing. And it was the Word of God that breathed us into existence. And by faith, we believe that. What the author is telling you is reason. He starts off with this. You must believe there is a creator. Romans tells us very clearly that man has seen the invisible attributes. They're clearly seen. Therefore, we were without excuse. Why? Because men chose to worship creation more than creator. You see that today where you'll see many people worshiping fish and worshiping different things. They know that there's something greater. And you say, well, atheists don't worship creation. Sure they do. Because they're more in love with nature than they are with God who created it. Reason and faith go hand in hand. I want you to listen to me. Lew Wallace, who was a great general during the Civil War, he was a great general who protected Washington against the Confederate Army, was given a task by Robert Ingersoll, who was the known atheist of that day, to write a book that contradicted Christianity. As he began to take up the task and write the book that contradicted Christianity, he came up with another book after he was saved called Ben-Hur. You see, let me tell you something. There's nowhere we can escape the presence of God. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It is by faith that we are here. It is by faith that God made us. It is by faith that we believe that God made us. God did not make us out of faith. God don't have to have faith in himself. He is what he is. But I want you to understand, we believe by faith that God is who he says he is. There is no other way. There is no other excuse. That he is, he has always been. And he spoke everything into existence. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. I've been in the ministry over 20 years, and I've walked all kind of things and went different kind of paths. But I will stand today with this assurance. If God's word is not true, then I have wasted my time. And I have wasted yours. But I can assure you this. I believe. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God spoke us into existence. I don't believe, like C.S. Lewis said, that I see the sun, that there's a God, but I see everything that the sun reveals. It shows me there's a God. I believe his word is true. And I believe because of my own rebellion that I have turned against him. And I believe that yet in his grace and mercy sent his son Jesus Christ for me. I believe. By faith, we must believe that God is who he says he is. But look at what the text says. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did, through which was obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And God testifying about his gifts and through faith, though he is dead. Do you notice that he does not start with Adam and Eve? Why? Adam and Eve walked with God. But yet, in their own rebellion, failed and broke that relationship. Now, this is where the Bible is so beautiful, people. Listen to me. When Adam and Eve failed, and they fell in the Garden of Eden, God provided a way. You see, they were ashamed of their nakedness, and yet they made their own coverings. But their coverings were not good enough. And God provided covering for them. He provided. And I want you to understand this, that though He banished them from the Garden of Eden, He provided a way through His Son Jesus Christ. By faith. So Adam and Eve had to talk to their sons and told them that there was something greater. And I want you to look, if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Genesis just for a few moments forward. I want to read Genesis chapter 4 to you. Now I want you to listen to what it said. I want you to listen to what it said here. Genesis chapter 4. The man was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I have a male child with the Lord's help. She also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. And in the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering. Some of the firstborn of his flock had their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and of his offering. Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious? Why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? Hold to that. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. I want you to think about what's going on here. You see, Abel's sacrifice was better. It wasn't about him. Listen, there's a difference between Cain and Abel. Cain was religious. Abel was righteous. You see, Abel knew that it must be paid for by blood. But not only did he know it needed to be paid for by blood, and we can see evidence of this in Scripture. He gave of his first. Do you see that? He gave of what was first. And blood was shed. And it was a pleasing aroma to God. How do you know it was pleasing? Because the Bible tells me it was pleasing. Why was he was upset with Cain? Because he offered a fruit offering, a grain offering. Well, that's offered in the Bible, yes, but not for sin. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because Cain was despondent and in sin before he killed Abel. You see, it wasn't about the sacrifice as much as about the heart of the one who gave it. And you see, the Bible says that he offered a better sacrifice through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. You hear that? Not religious, but righteous. Faith and religion is different. Okay? What does it mean? Anybody can be religious. There's a lot of people that have misguided faith. People believe in a lot of things. People believe in a lot of deities. People have interesting beliefs. People have crazy beliefs. But we often think that in the church that if I'm religious, that I'm righteous. Listen, religion is man-made. Religion says do. Righteousness in Christianity says done. Religion says slave. Christianity and righteousness says son. There's a difference. There's a lot of people religious. And going through an act does not make you righteous. Being faithful means you trust in God for His word to do what He told you to do. Religion means your own way of trying to work to God. Righteousness is God seeing through you and reaching down and rescuing you from man. There's a big difference. Righteousness and faith are hand in hand. Because understanding, by faith, trusting in the complete promises of God, regardless of circumstance, listen to me, trusting in the complete promises of God, regardless of circumstance, shows your obedience to God Almighty. Are we obedient to His Word? I have to ask you, do you give your first to God? Does He get what's left over? You see, what He is saying here is, listen, people, God deserves all the glory, period. He is to get what is first and what is best and 100% of it. Because He's worthy. And you give not to be religious. You give because you desire righteousness, which is found in the Father. We are faithful to Him. And we believe in the promises of Him. You know, it's very interesting to me that the Bible says that in death, He still speaks. Wonder what kind of testimony we leave behind. What will people say when we leave this world? You see, I have shared that there's been people that I have had the opportunity and privilege to stand before and preach their funerals. And to be quite honest with you, some of them, I could have just went up and said, these people love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all dismissed. Have a blessed day. Why? Because I didn't need to convince people of who they were. Their walk and their testimony showed people that they love Jesus Christ. You hear me? Does our life reflect God? Does it reflect His Son Jesus Christ? Does our testimony speak volumes? Will it speak volumes even when we're gone? You know, it's not about having the fanciest monument to your name. When we lived in Pennsylvania, there was this kind of weird, but there was a cemetery that would decorate for Christmas. Like we drive through the zoo and the park, people drove through the cemetery. I'm serious. They would put, I've never seen anything like it. Okay, and this was a massive cemetery, okay, that they would put lights and manger scenes and stuff and going through it. And I'm going, people are actually doing this. And yes, I did it too. But I got to thinking about it. Now go with me. If you're a born again believer in Jesus Christ, that's resurrection ground, people. So what's crazy after all? Because there's light even in the face of death through Jesus Christ. But here's my point. I'm telling you, some of these tombstones cost thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. I didn't know any of them. And it comes to a point that after the generations pass, people will remember you no more. But I can tell you what, the Word of God will not return void. And if a testimony is that of the Lord's, that testimony is passed down to others who pass down to others who pass down to others. We don't need monuments of men to be recognized. What we want to always live is, like I often said, a cross-eyed rock and roll Christian. Our eyes are on the cross, our foot's on the rock, and our name's on the roll. Listen to me. The praise of man is not what we desire. It's the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we are what we say we are, people remember our testimony. It's not by having a fancy monument. And here it is, He's saying, by faith, He gave an offering that was commendable before God, and even in death, He speaks. in verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Now, I want to stop for a few moments. Talk about Enoch. We'll get to that account in Genesis in just a few minutes. But see, when we talk about the faith, the hall of faith, you would expect to see certain names like that in there. But then you have just a few verses dedicated to a man named Enoch in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. Let me tell you something. Enoch was just as great as anybody else because of his faith. And look what it says. Enoch, by faith, Enoch was taken up so he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up was pleasing to God. Now listen to this. This is what Hebrews says. But Genesis 5 tells us a little bit about Enoch. Listen. It says, Enoch 5:21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Now you know who that is. Okay. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after becoming the father of Methuselah. He had other sons and daughters, so all the days Enoch were 365 years, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Now I want to tell you something very interesting about this text is because Genesis chapter 6 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the thoughts of the world. Yet Enoch walked in it. You hear that? Men were evil, but Enoch walked with God. Now I want to talk about this for a few minutes because Enoch would be taken into God's presence. He did not see death. But by faith, he walked with God in obedience, even in the midst of turmoil around him. Let me give you an assurance of something. Walking with God means you are cheerfully obedient to His Word. It means you're cheerfully obedient to His Word. Why are you cheerfully obedient to His Word? Because you have been reconciled to the Father. You see, even in the midst, listen, folks, listen. This is what the writer's saying to us. No matter how evil this world is around us, you can still be a light for the glory of God. Period. Chad, you don't know what I work with. Come hang out with me a while. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, guys, we live in a time where it's not that men's heart is more wicked, there's more sin because there's more people. People have always been wicked. The heart of man is wicked. But it's made more known to us because of social media, because of news, because of other things that we see the wickedness. We're informed. And we see the depravity of man all the way around us. But those who walk with God and are obedient to His promises know that there's something greater. And if we believe that God is who He says He is, we also believe without a shadow of a doubt that He will sustain us. What does that mean? Share the illustration this morning during Sunday school class. Y'all got to come to this, man. We have a great time. But Christians are like a boat on the water. You can ride in that water until water starts coming in the boat. That's when you sink. Look, we in the world, which is an ongoing flow of evilness. But yet the problem is when we accept that, then we begin to sink. You see, Enoch saw that the world around him was evil. Yet he stood faithfully and walked with God, being obedient, being reconciled. But let me give you a third one. He persevered. Perseverance. Holding fast to the end. want you to think about this. Do you not think being surrounded by evilness that he wasn't tempted by sin? Are you ever tempted? You ever feel that draw to do what other people tell you to do? We call it peer pressure, I think. That desire to conform to make other people happy. You know what I'm talking about? But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that God has given us an escape route. We can all flee temptation. Because if you believe God is who he says he is, the same God that sustained Enoch in an evil world will sustain you in the same evil world. Do you believe that? I want you to think about this. The Daily Bread tells a story. The author who wrote the article went to a coal mine. And he noticed that he and the visitors that were at this coal mine saw this white plant sitting at the entrance. But they were astonished that the dust, coal dust, was not over the plant. So some of the people with the author began to throw coal dust on the white plant. But yet not one particle of dirt would stick to it. They kept doing this repeatedly. And found that not one particle would ever stick to change the whiteness of this plant, the purity that it showed. Let me tell you what that means, brothers and sisters. That means when we are in Christ, that's the way that we live, that not one particle of the dirt of the world should stick to us, that we're to live righteous lives. And we're able to do so. But look what the text says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Let me tell you what that means, folks. That it means this. If you truly trust God and you truly believe he is who he says he is, you truly believe this with all aspect of your building, you seek to grow closer to him continually. You seek his face. See, lost people don't seek Christ. They run from him. But those that are truly saved will want to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Those that seek him, those that are being convicted to press on, that they grab the glimpse and glory that God has given us. Let me ask you this. Do you truly believe? Now that seems like a loaded question. But do you believe in the true promises of God? Believing in the promises of God and walking with God means this, again, the circumstances, regardless you hold unswerving to your faith. Every single one of you are going to go through some circumstances. That's a fact. You will face sickness, financial hardship, and death. That is a fact. How you react says a lot about your faith. Now bear with me for a few moments, okay? If you only believe Christ when things are going well, is that genuine faith? It's just like loving those that love you back. That's easy to do. Just like forgiving those who forgive you. That's easy. But trust in God regardless of what your circumstance is. It is this. If you lost everything that you own today, everything, everything around you was like Job, you lost everything, would you still say, God is great? Would you still believe that He's faithful? See, faith is not about what you have. Faith is about who has you. One of the things that you often hear me say that drives me crazy is these people who preach this doctrine that, man, if you believe enough, everything will happen. If you believe enough, you'll have plenty of money. If you sow that seed in faith, if you give me your mortgage payment, I'll double it. God will double it. If you believe enough or pray enough, you will not get sick. You will not have any problems whatsoever. I want you to listen to me real clear, people. If you hear somebody saying such, turn the TV off. Because they're not preaching the Word of God. Because they don't have an understanding of who God is. You see, these men walked with God not because of everything that God had given them. They walked with God because they trusted His promises. And that He was who He says He is. You see, here's the deal. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. None of us like to face any kind of hardship. We don't like to face death. We don't like to face financial problems. We don't like to face workforce issues. We all want to retire, go to Italy, spend our days at the beach or mountains, whatever you prefer. We all want that. That's what we want. Here's the problem. God's will and our will is different. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My will and God's will will do this, won't it? But understanding a faithful person don't store their treasures here on earth. Because we're not guaranteed that. Jesus said we will have trouble. It's going to happen. I'm not going to promise you that every one of you, when you walk out this door, that you'll live today. Well, what do you mean by that? How many people you thought woke up today or yesterday thought the day would be their last day on earth? They were in a car wreck. That their heart stopped. That they went home and their home had burnt down. Chad, you being doom and gloom? No, I'm not. I'm telling you the reality of life. And I'm telling you the reality is this. That God who saved you will walk with you through any circumstance. If Enoch can be righteous in the face of all evil, he can sustain you. If Cable can offer the right sacrifice because he was faithful in obedience to God's command, he'll be faithful to you. There's a reason why the author is lifting this up. And the reason why he's going through this and telling these persecuted Jews to hold unswervingly to your faith, because even your forefathers had the fingerprint of Jesus on everything they did. Everything. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to listen. Listen to me. Please spend time in God's Word. Please. Brothers and sisters, we have a volume of 66 book of God-breathed material. And every word of it shows the faithfulness of our Lord God Almighty. So you may be here today and you're struggling with your faith. Then you read the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world now where most people consider the Word of God a joke, where sin is fun, and it's all about me. I want you to understand that, like I said, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and it's all about the Lord God Almighty. I don't know when anybody in this place is going to leave this world, but you can know how you leave it. Do you trust in who God says He is? Do you believe He who is the creator of all things, in His mercy and grace, sent His Son Jesus to die for you? Do you believe that? Do you believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in Him regardless of any circumstance, what may come your way? Again, it's easy to say, I believe, when things are going great. See, loose religion is like a tax refund check. Everybody's happy when you go to Walmart and spend it. But pretty soon that money runs out, and then you're back in the same boat wanting more. That's religion. But true righteousness and faith is found when you, regardless of what you have on this earth, Christ is greater than all things. And whether He chooses to leave me on this earth or whether He chooses to take me home, regardless, I win. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all the things that You do in our lives, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity to be able to come here today and worship You. And Lord, we pray that we serve You diligently by faith. Lord, things are going to happen. Things are going to come into our lives. But God, the great thing about it is this. You who saved us will sustain us. You give us the peace that only comes from You. God, it's about the joy in our lives, not happiness. Happiness is temporary. Joy is eternal. That, Lord, we look at these lives of these men that You have preserved for us in Your Word to show us that You are the creator of all things. You will sustain us. And You give examples of those who offered better sacrifice because he was committed to Your Word. And the sacrifice that he given wasn't so much about the sacrifice, it was the heart of the one who gave it because he wanted to please You. It's the obedience that Abel had. The obedience to Your Word. That he was obedient to what You had commanded him to do. And the faith of Enoch, who followed You in a wicked world and was the light and example even in the midst of darkness. And only You can do that, Lord. But Lord, we can take assurance that through this, we can have the same as we walk in You. The Lord, there'll be trouble all around us, but Your grace is sufficient. That God, You will sustain us and keep us in the midst. That we would be a light in the midst of darkness. And let us be encouraged and grow in this, Lord. Lord, not to be discouraged by what we read. Not to be discouraged about the potential of death. But in death there is life. In death to self, we have life in You. In death physically, we're in Your presence because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we win. And the reason we win is because You won on the cross. Lord, that which we do not deserve, You freely offer us. And Lord, may we be obedient. May we be faithful to Your Word and Your truth and promises. Lord, again, if there's one here that does not have a relationship with You, Lord, I pray You convict their hearts. Draw them unto You, Lord, before it's eternally too late. Lord, for those that are struggling in their faith right now, God, I pray that You give them a strength that only You can give. That You give them the assurance, no matter what come what may, that you will walk with them. Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. And God, there's times that I waver and I struggle, Lord, and I have fear, but Lord, that is not the spirit that continually resides in me. God, you are faithful in your word. Mm-hmm. And Lord, whether I live another hour or another 10 years, I rest in the assurance of my salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I will give you the praise and glory for it. God, I pray again that we be a shining light to this community. That, Lord, people would see that we love you and we love others. And that we have the urgency to share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you do. And, Lord, there's never enough we can say thank you. But, Lord, may us live obedient to your word to show you that you see that we are who we say we are. We love you and thank you and praise your name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's sing. Stand with us.
I'm glad Carrie picked this song.